Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 4th of June. And we have, as we always do on Monday, all things political. But today's all things political will be something that we don't always do. In fact, we've never done before. We'll be talking, we've talked about the issue, but we'll be talking about the first ever recall election, which takes place tomorrow. And we'll be welcoming your phone calls. Before we get to our guest and a little bit about the hour, let me say, first, thanks to John Munson, for the wonderful John Munson, for filling in for me last week while I had a week of vacation and celebrated my son's birthday and visited some relatives. It was a good week, and John is a great guy and a great host. I also want to say that over the weekend on Saturday, Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers had a chance to go on the Honor Flight, the Stars and Stripes Wisconsin Honor Flight to Washington, D.C. I understand there were some over 220 World War II veterans who were on two planes who went to the World War II Memorial and to Arlington Cemetery. It was an extraordinary trip. And they are going to join us just at the top of the 10 o'clock hour to talk about their experiences on this honor flight. And we will do our June open line. We haven't had an open line in ages, so it'll be a chance for you to suggest shows for us. Both hours, here is our phone number. Our number is 800-486-8655. Most of the hour, we'll be talking about the gubernatorial race. We'll also look at the lieutenant governor race. And we'll look at some of the state Senate districts where there are recall races to see how close those are, the campaigning that's been going on. And we'll be welcoming your phone calls, asking you about what you think about tomorrow, if you plan to vote, why, and you can make your case for whoever it is you're going to be voting for tomorrow. There's a lot to discuss this hour. 800-486-8655 is our number. The email address is talk@wpr.org. And you can also leave your messages, and we'll be happy to read them today on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Professor George Waller is our guest. He's been with us many times before. He's a professor of political science at UW Fox Valley. He teaches American government, public policy, and campaign and election analysis. Professor George Waller, thank you so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure to speak with you, Kathleen.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And it's a big day in Wisconsin tomorrow, isn't it? It's quite an event. It just hasn't happened before.
Oh, it sure is. And not only here in Wisconsin, but nationally. This is only the third recall election where we have the possibility of an incumbent governor being recalled and thrown out of office. We'll see what happens tomorrow. It's going to be an eventful day.
Yes, it will be an eventful day. What strikes you as the most important things that you're seeing in this race? Is it organizational efforts? Is it money in the race? Is it the race itself? What is important about this?
Boy, I'd say all of the above to that question, Kathleen. Clearly, this is just unprecedented in terms of the amount of money that's been spent on an election campaign here in the state of Wisconsin. And we're talking about, you know, nearly $64 million, which just vastly eclipsed the previous record that was established in the gubernatorial campaign in 2010, where we had about $37.5 million. So the amount of money, and in particular the sources of that money, which with the bulk of it coming from out of state, is something that's clearly unprecedented here in the state of Wisconsin. I think you're also correct to point out that organizational efforts are going to play a key role in what happens tomorrow. It's going to be turnout that's going to tell the story of what happens in this election. And I think, obviously, you know, the degree to which the fact that we're having a recall election and the closeness, as many of the most recent polls seem to indicate, just illustrates the degree to which the state of Wisconsin is divided in a partisan way that is clearly unprecedented in our history.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine, no matter what happens tomorrow, how that divide is going to be bridged, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I know that there have been some reports from national media saying that what happens tomorrow is going to be a kind of indicator of what's going to happen with Wisconsin in the fall. And I think with with the likelihood that whoever wins tomorrow is going to win by a very narrow margin. I think any implications for whether or not this is going to swing Wisconsin one way or another in the fall is probably a bit overblown. I think it's clear that we're going to see Wisconsin is going to be a competitive state in the presidential campaign, and it's probably going to be just as divisive and just as divided in that campaign as we've seen certainly for the last couple of years here in the state of Wisconsin's races.
So put yourself in the shoes of a Walker voter and put yourself in the shoes of a Barrett voter, and people feel strongly on either side why they would go to the polls and enthusiastically support one or the other.
Yeah, I think clearly those who are supportive of Governor Walker clearly see that, you know, from their perspective, he has dealt with the budget deficit in Wisconsin, that he's reined in what many on that side see as the special interest influence of big unions in the state, that he's, from their point of view, protected the interests of taxpayers by turning back the collective bargaining for public employees. So I think you find that people who are aligned with Walker will tout those kinds of things that they see as major accomplishments. They will also tend to focus on the fact that, from their perspective at least, they feel that Governor Walker has turned the corner on creating jobs in the state of Wisconsin. And I think all of those things really resonate with those partisan Walker voters who clearly want to see Scott Walker remain in office. I think on the other side, a Barrett voter will point to what they see as the divisiveness that's been created as a result of Governor Walker's first 2 years in office. I think they'll also point to the fact that they believe that while Governor Walker has reined in unions, that he is also in the pocket of big corporations. And I think they are also concerned about the degree to which Wisconsin's job numbers, even if you were to accept what Governor Walker's claiming in terms of job creation, still represents a rather anemic job growth here in the state of Wisconsin. And I think from their perspective, they see that unless and until the divisiveness in the state begins to be resolved, employers are unlikely to want to bring jobs here to the state of Wisconsin. So You got clear battle lines and clear support on both sides here. That's going to tell the story tomorrow.
And what do you know about the ground game on both sides, George?
Well, I'll tell you, I think, you know, Republicans, we saw this in the primary campaigns. Republicans always do a very good job of getting their voters to turn out here in the state of Wisconsin. They've got a really good get-out-the-vote effort. And I think, you know, Democrats have sometimes struggled with that, particularly in Milwaukee County, which is absolutely essential to Democratic success. I mean, we saw that in that primary campaign, or in the gubernatorial campaign in 2010, we saw significant declines in terms of voter turnout in the city of Milwaukee, in particular from the presidential race. And I think in light of that, what we see is at the last minute here now, the Democratic Party is bringing in some pretty heavy hitters, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and others, to hold a rally in Milwaukee to ensure that the black vote in particular in Milwaukee turns out to vote. My prediction is that the organizational efforts of the Democratic Party, particularly in Milwaukee and Dane County, are going to be particularly important for the Democrats. I think Republicans are going to count on and bank on their high turnout that's likely to occur in Waukesha County and some of the other strong Republican areas in the state. So both sides, I think, are ready to go. They're hitting the ground. They're out today. They'll be out in force tomorrow to make sure that their voters turn out to vote. I'm predicting very high turnout here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think you're right. It will be very high. I live in the city of Milwaukee, and on the way to work this morning, I saw many, many more signs that I saw than I saw last week on my way to Milwaukee, so on my way to work. So there obviously are organizational efforts taking place in this city.
You bet. And it's statewide. It's the same up here in the Fox Valley, I can assure you.
Yeah. So what's the story? You said that Republicans are faithful about voting, and I believe that's true. Why aren't Democrats?
You know, Democrats typically have a harder time. I think many of the Democratic voters tend to be young people, and they tend to be members of the minorities, and sometimes people of lower income. And it, in many ways, is often more difficult for some of those constituents to actually get out to vote. You know, it's going to be in some ways a little bit more problematic for that younger contingency of voters who typically would have been voting in the places where they go to college. Now, with the election being held on June 5th, those younger voters are going to have to either re-register back home with their parents or travel back to their colleges and universities in order to cast their ballots. So, you know, those kinds of things and the likelihood that it's somewhat more daunting and challenging in some of the other areas, particularly minority areas in the central city of Milwaukee, where you often have to wait in lines in order to vote. And I think all of that tends to work against higher turnout for Democratic voters than is the case for Republican voters.
And before we go to phone calls, George, the national ramifications of this race.
Yeah, you know, again, you hear a lot on the national media about that. I think here's what both sides are going to try to claim, regardless of what happens here tomorrow, whoever wins, that there's some sort of a mandate here with national implications, and I don't buy that. I believe, as I said, this is going to be, whichever side wins, a very narrow victory, and all it's going to show is that Wisconsin is going to be a state in play for the presidential campaign, which I would have said would have been the case even without a recall election.
Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we go to phone calls, starting with Cindy in Burlington. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
My thing is, whoever wins when it comes to the governor, if Walker wins, we're going to go to a right-to-work state, and that's going to bring in low-paying jobs. Where if Barrett wins, it's like I feel that he'll put the money back into education, and I feel education is the investment of our state, where it will bring in high-paying jobs. So when it comes to this job situation, it's like I would definitely vote for Barrett because I'd rather have a smarter, more educated state than some right to work, you know, where education doesn't matter. We're just a bunch of ants, just working ants.
Thank you, Cindy. Do you think it's a given that Wisconsin becomes right to work? Should Walker win, George?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I think, and we'll probably get to this a little bit later. I think it may be that Democrats are going to pick up one seat in the Senate, giving Democrats control of the Senate, which means that even if Walker is elected, he's going to be forced to do a little bit more by way of at least talking about compromise, because he's unlikely to get the kind of support that he got when both the Senate and the Assembly were under Republican control. So I'm not sure that Wisconsin inevitably will become a right-to-work state, even if Governor Walker wins, because I think you will find that there will be significant opposition from Democrats in the state Senate, and even in the Assembly, obviously, but that will still remain under Republican Party control. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Cindy, thanks very much for your call. Jim in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I think we have a serious problem in terms of lack of effort and lack of interest in responsible performance on the part of the voters to really do the effort to become informed of what's going on. If you're physically ill, you go to an infirmary, and it seems to me that if a country's lacking in thinking skills, we need to turn to bookwormery and read a lot more. And you know, if people read, it seems to me it wouldn't even be an issue in the first place, because we'd know about loving your neighbor and how as yourself, and how the cuts to the poor and the treatment of women are at variance with that. And we'd know if you're not supposed to cheat to win, and if the end doesn't justify the means. And we'd know about Scott Walker's record at Marquette University and the campaign violations of his staff and the corporate money and the divide and conquer. Well, with all of these factors that people ought to know about, I can't put a gun at people's head and force them to read more and to be able to differentiate between rendering unto God and rendering unto Caesar. But if we don't have some improvement in society, we're in big trouble, and it's the only chance we've got.
Professor Waller?
Well, the caller certainly speaks to something that has been of keen interest to me. I also agree that we need to do a much, much better job of not only educating our citizenry, but encouraging and letting them know that it's extremely important to the health of our American democracy that we have an educated, informed, and engaged citizenry. You know, I've said this before on this program many, many times. We do just a terrible job of educating our own citizenry about some of the basics of their government and their politics and their constitution. And unless and until we do a better job of that, we have the kind of political rhetoric and we have the kind of political campaigning that appeals to the baser instincts of our people than would be the case if we had a more educated, reasoned, and engaged population.
Professor Waller, you mentioned the Democrats may pick up one of the Senate seats. Which one are you thinking about?
Yeah, I think Van Wengard in the Racine area in the 21st district has a real challenge with John Lehman's campaign, and that to me, I think, is the one bright spot that Democrats can look to in terms of controlling the state Senate. The other races in the 13th, 23rd, and 29th, I don't see turning out, at least by recent poll numbers, in ways that would advance the agenda of the Democrats. But that race in particular, I think Van Wengard may find himself in a little bit of trouble there with John Lehman's campaign.
And why are his chances good there and the chances of Democrats in other Senate districts not as good?
Well, you know, Van Wengard has been sort of under attack and hasn't won by the margins that you've seen in the past in some of these other districts. Scott Fitzgerald being the leader there, I think, is you know, pretty safe, although I think Lori Compass has run a fairly good campaign. I just don't see that as one that's likely to turn. The other one that's a possibility would be Donna Seidel in the Wausau area, although Jerry Petrowski probably is favored in that race, and the poll numbers seem to indicate that. I just think it's always been the case in Van Wengard's district that he's been susceptible to a strong campaign, and I think John Lehman has run that campaign in that district.
More phone calls in just one moment, and a reminder that we will have complete election coverage for you, and nobody will cover those races, the aforementioned races, the Senate races and lieutenant governor and the gubernatorial race, better than Wisconsin Public Radio. We have, and we're the only facility that has news reporters all over the state, so it will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You'll get complete election coverage. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we'll talk about it. That's what we do, right? So Wednesday, Joy Cardine, of course, will have 3 hours, I think I heard her say this morning, and we will be talking with Craig Gilbert and Mike Goucher on Wednesday during our 9 o'clock hour. Ben Marins will have Mordecai Lee at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. So this will be the place to talk about all of it on Wednesday. More phone calls momentarily this hour. We're talking about tomorrow's recall election. George Waller, professor of political science at UW Fox Valley, is our guest. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, we're going to do a June open line, so we haven't done this in a long time. It's a chance for you to call in with suggestions for future shows. I did ask Rhonda and Brett to join us at the top of the program. They, on Saturday, along with over 220 World War II veterans, were part of the Honor Flight Wisconsin Stars and Stripes trip to Washington, D.C., and it was, as you can well imagine, an extraordinary trip for them. I've asked for them to talk a little bit about their experiences, and they will be putting together, I'm sure, what will be a compelling show down the road with the many interviews that they did with World War II vets. So that's coming up, hour number two. George Waller, this hour, professor of political science at UW Fox Valley. We're talking about tomorrow's recall. Our number is 800-486-8655. And we go to Dan in Three Lakes. Hello, Dan.
Good morning.
Hi.
Frankly, I think all of the blather. I'm reminded that Walt Whitman, about 150 years ago, advised us not to listen to the blather of either party because most of it's nonsense and demagoguery. However, I just wanted to say Our local paper here in Three Lakes, which is pretty small community and a pretty small school district, came out in an editorial in support of Walker because one of the things that happened here very recently was the school system went to binding arbitration on the union contract, and the arbitrator, as some of us know, has to pick the best offer. He cannot negotiate. And the result was he went with the union notion of their health insurance plan and cost the taxpayers an extra $400,000 a year in health insurance premiums compared to what the school board could have gotten from another provider. My point is, that's not a testament to the advocacy or the enlightened notion of one party or the other. That's a testament to the abysmal stupidity of local control. If a little bitty school district like Three Lakes could save $400,000 on their health insurance plan, just think what the people of the state of Wisconsin, whose real estate taxes are 60% for schools, could save if all the teachers and school employees in the state were covered by one single plan, which would be perfectly simple. And just think how much leverage we would have in Wisconsin by putting all school districts into one insurance policy with one company and bidding it out to different insurance companies every few, maybe 5 or 10 years.
Thank you, Dan. George.
Well, I think what the caller clearly points out is related to the overall and larger issue of health care, not only here in the state of Wisconsin, but in the United States. I mean, the fact of the matter is he's right to point out that health care costs are a significantly high component of the packages that are available for public employees, for teachers and school districts, and for people in general around the country. And as health care costs continue to rise, that is going to continue to be an important issue. That whole issue about health care and how that gets dealt out and how it's managed and how it's organized is one that's going to continue to dog not just local races, but state races and even national politics for a good time to come.
Mm-hmm. What about teachers? There have been a number of teachers in this state who have been concerned about what's happened, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about the teaching profession, about whether or not you think that teachers have been blasted here unnecessarily so, or if indeed their unions do have too much control, too much political control, so they would be an easy target. I just want to hear your thoughts about teachers.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit unfortunate because I think, you know, you can make a case on both sides there. You can certainly say that, you know, perhaps the teachers' unions have had, because of their organizational ability and an ability to influence a good deal of politics in states and even nationally. But I think what's really unfortunate about all of this is the degree to which the teaching profession itself and teachers have become the focus of so much animosity in this state and, you know, in many other states around the country. It's really unfortunate because I think, you know, the idea that those who are educators, those who are charged with the responsibility of educating young people and throughout this state, often do so not because they're going to get rich by doing that. I mean, educators are not paid terribly well by comparison to the private sector. And I think that sense that the teaching profession has been under attack in some ways, and that teachers have gotten this sort of bad rap, doesn't bode well for the likelihood of attracting highly qualified, intelligent, and committed teachers in the future. And that's somewhat problematic and somewhat disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Kathy in Milwaukee. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I was wondering what our guest thinks the chances are of a recount in the gubernatorial election.
Boy, you know, if I were to be predicting, I would say that tomorrow We are likely to see high turnout. We are likely to see the possibility that it will be a while before we know who actually wins, because there has been a high number of absentee ballots that have been cast throughout the state, and we may have to wait until all of those absentee ballots are accounted for and fully counted. I believe at this point, given the closeness of this race, that both the Walker campaign and the Barrett campaign have been in consultation with legal teams about strategizing for the possibility of a recount. Wouldn't be at all surprising to me if we don't have that kind of a challenge. I think we're likely going to get, if this indeed turns out as close as most recent polls seem to indicate, a great deal by way of challenges from both sides about fraud and corruption. And so it wouldn't surprise me one bit if we don't have once again here in the state of Wisconsin a recount commence following the results of tomorrow's election.
Oh, that's all I can say.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it just indicates the degree to which politics in this state has become so divisive and so closely divided that it wouldn't be at all out of the realm of possibility for us to see a recount tomorrow.
Thanks, Kathy. Jill is next. Hi, Jill.
Hi. Hello. I guess I want to be short but to the point. You know what major concerns me is, yeah, we've lost sight of what the word humanness means, and we talk about standing with Walker. Most of us don't want to be labeled Republican or Democrat. We want to work to stand on our own two feet. And in order to do that in society, we need to put in place supportive systems for everyone, because the standards in life are not the same. The equality of opportunities are not the same. But my greatest point is that I'm concerned about the fact that I received in the mail a list of myself at the top and the neighbors, what year they voted in. And I'd like to know if that turned out because I signed the recall in that election thing, that someone may have repercussions because of their prejudices.
Yeah, I've talked to other people who have received that and they were disturbed by it.
Yeah, you know, all of that is a matter of public record, so it isn't as though it's a violation, but I understand the concern that the voter has, that it seems that particularly when that is going out to your neighbors, and, you know, you might feel that, you know, why is it my neighbor's business whether I voted or not? And I think that is problematic. That would be up to the individual voter to talk about that. I think the attempt was to try and encourage sort of neighbor pressure, which I don't like. I do find it a little bit distasteful, if not illegal.
Yeah. Well, you've, in many cases, got neighbors who aren't even talking to each other, who have dueling signs on their front lawns.
That's right. I've seen single houses where there are two signs, so you know what's going on there.
Exactly. Thanks, Jill, for the call. Mark in Appleton. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say hi to George. I'm a colleague of George's at UW-Fox.
Oh.
And also just one of my complaints about this whole campaign is the massive cuts the UW system have been completely ignored. They've been ignored by NPR. They've been ignored by the candidates. And, you know, it's completely forgotten that there's been a very large tuition increase, a 5.5% tuition increase. And tuition will probably go up again next year, 5.5%. And so Governor Walker is doing what Governor Doyle did, which was to cut the UW, have the UW raise tuition, which is a form of tax, and then claim to have balanced the budget without raising taxes. It's simply not true, and it's also putting a huge burden on our students who really cannot afford it. So they're spending more and more time working, trying to pay for tuition, not getting the education what they need. And I think long-term, it's really going to be very destructive to our country.
Professor
and
Waller.
And it's been ignored, and it's been ignored by NPR as well. I can't think of one program that they've done about that situation.
Well, I'd like to say hi to Mark, and I know Mark feels very strongly about this, and I think he's absolutely correct. I mean, there have been massive cuts, as he indicates, to the UW system, and that has had the impact of forcing tuition increases on students throughout the state of Wisconsin, and that means essentially that in order for students to attend colleges and universities within the UW system, that means that people are going to have to fork out from their own pockets, and students are going to have to make that money necessary to pay for those tuition increases. It's unfortunate, but we've seen a consistent decline in the levels of support for the UW system from the state of Wisconsin, and the unfortunate thing is that it's not only causing that kind of a burden on students and their parents, but it's also leading to the abandonment from the University of Wisconsin system of some pretty well-qualified and important educators. In terms of attracting high-quality professors and researchers here to the state of Wisconsin, it's having exactly the opposite impact.
Thanks so much for your call. Let's talk about big-shot Democrats, big-shot Republicans coming to the state. A listener sent me a piece that was in today's Guardian in the UK. And let me just quote you part of it. It says, nationally, Democrats have kept their distance. Clinton is the only high-profile Democrat to lend his support to a campaign that is being outspent by more than 7-1. Little wonder that most polls show Walker with a small but persistent lead that only a huge Democratic turnout can override. Indeed, it's amazing his opponents are doing as well as they are. Priebus, the chair of the Republican National Committee, said something which I think people need to think about, that if indeed the Democrats lose, there are going to be a lot of Democrats in this state who may say, or maybe you'll say that they won't say, we're going to sit this one out for you, President Obama. You were nowhere to be found during this recall. Clinton was here, but why is it that many other Democrats have kept their distance? And Republicans probably too, but let's start with the Democrats.
Yeah, it's a bit puzzling. I think, you know, for the fact that, you know, this race really didn't take off until mid-March, once the primaries had determined that Tom Barrett would be the nominee. And even prior to that, for a long time, Barrett wasn't even involved in the race. And I think there's a general idea that, you know, being as divided as we are here in the state of Wisconsin, you didn't want, particularly from President Obama's perspective, for him to sort of have a high profile presence in the state in the event that Walker wins. I think it would have looked bad for the president. And I think from the perspective of a lot of national Democrats, the idea of a recall victory is remote. I mean, it rarely happens. And the idea that you put your eggs in that basket and then have more national repercussions occur would be potentially problematic. Now, having said that, I'm not so sure that any of these high-profile outside individuals are really at all that important here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, Bill Clinton is certainly high-profile. It probably is important in terms of solidifying some Democratic support in Milwaukee. But I'm not so sure that, you know, Nikki Haley from South Carolina coming to speak on behalf of Governor Walker really resonates all that much, except with Republican supporters of Scott Walker. So I'm not sure that these outside high-profile individuals from either party are all that important in the outcome of our elections. I think what is more important, however, is the money. And it's clear that the Republican campaign, the Walker campaign, has outraised and outspent the Democrats almost 7.5 times. And that is a little problematic. I think what we've seen in the last few days is a greater influx of at least organizational support from national unions on behalf of the Barrett campaign. So I'm not sure what the major impact, if there is any, of these high-profile out-of-state individuals.
Well, let's do a what do you think would happen if. What do you think would happen in terms of rallying the vote if the president had appeared in Central City, Milwaukee yesterday?
Yeah. I'm sure it would have been something that would have at least rallied Democrats here in the state of Wisconsin. But if Democrats already aren't energized, I don't know that that's going to have that much more of an impact. I'm not certain that it really is going to, it would have had much of an impact one way or another. I do think that it's interesting that Jesse Jackson is in Milwaukee today, because I think that points to a clear attempt to rally black voters in the city of Milwaukee to turn out in support of Mayor Barrett.
Yeah, and Jesse Jackson was here yesterday, too, and
indeed
spoke in the city. Jeff in Madison writes, Jesse Jackson will rally more to vote for Walker than the other way around. Do you agree, Jeff? George.
Well, you see, and there you go. That's the sort of yin and yang, I guess, of these high-profile candidates. Clearly, Jesse Jackson is somebody who is not at all appreciated by Walker supporters and Republicans. So clearly, you know, that can have that kind of an impact. But again, I don't think overall these have much to do with what's likely to occur. I think Wisconsin voters are voting on the basis of their very strong positions with respect to Governor Walker's governorship and the possibility of replacing him with Tom Barrett. So I'm not so sure.
Ron in Warrens, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My opinion that it's the independents. I'm neither Democrat nor Republican. I'm a business owner, as my wife is, and I'm a 20-plus year union member, and also a card-carrying concealed weapons carrier due to the bill passed in the state of Wisconsin. And I think it's the independents that are going to decide this election, and to consider us as uneducated that don't understand what's going on in this election, when our unemployment rate is down 2% below the national average. Did all of the people just leave the state? Did those jobs, if there wasn't an increase in jobs, a 33,000 personnel increase, then and besides that, figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is a federal bureau that wrote just the opposite about 3-4 months ago, that were evidently not truthful. And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, the caller says he's an independent. I suspect at least in this campaign, he's not an independent. It sounds pretty much to me like he's pretty firmly in the Walker camp. In terms of those people out there who are independent, I don't mean to imply, and I certainly hope I never did, that independents are somehow not intelligent. I think I'm talking about the electorate as a whole. People need to be more educated and more involved and need to be more engaged. In terms of independence here in the state of Wisconsin, in this particular recall campaign, we're talking about an extremely small segment of the population. The people who may claim to be independent tend to still be, by and large, supporters of Walker or supporters of Barrett, and those undecideds that the caller may be referring to are a very, very small segment of the voting electorate tomorrow. Whether they'll even turn out to vote, we'll have to see. I don't think there are going to be a whole lot of voters who are going to make up their mind at the very last minute in this particular race.
I think you're absolutely right. What about those jobs numbers? There are a lot of issues in this race where there are two entirely different sets of truths that are given to potential voters. How are voters to know what to believe here? Because you would like to know what the truth is before you vote.
Yeah, and it's very hard to determine that, because there are various ways of calculating job growth. While it may be the case, and again, we'll have to see, these things also have the kind of lag effect. We probably won't know the true effect or the true numbers for this month, for example, until a couple months from now. But in any case, whatever calculation you accept, the fact of the matter is, there still has been relatively anemic job growth here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, if you compare Wisconsin's job growth to job growth in many of the other Midwestern states, it isn't terribly high. And we're talking about a national problem as well. When we've got anemic job growth nationally. You know, that also is something to consider. I think what voters are concerned about is the economy, not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but nationally. And when it gets to these job numbers as to how many jobs were created or lost, I think it's reasonable to assume that many voters are somewhat confused about what the true numbers are.
We're talking about tomorrow's election this hour of the show. George Waller is our guest, professor of political science at UW Fox Valley. Here is our phone number, 800-486-8655. Here is our email, talk@WPR.org. You can also leave messages on this day before the election. I know many of you are reading lots of comments about how people plan to vote tomorrow and why they do. You can leave those comments on our Facebook page, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Complete election coverage tomorrow beginning at 8 o'clock in the evening on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And our next caller is David in Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, David.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just saying money's taking over the whole system. I mean, there's allegations that Walker hired people who were breaking the law, but they said, oh, he balanced the budget. Who cares if he has someone in there breaking laws and stuff? Just like, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're going with that, but let's take the part about money, because it is true that an enormous amount of money, as you said earlier, is being spent in this race.
Yeah, you know, that Supreme Court decision in Citizens United really just opened the door for what we're seeing here in the state of Wisconsin. And you know, you're seeing it in other states as well, but it is troubling the degree to which lots and lots and lots of outside money can be funneled into races in state after state across this country. And, you know, that does really not sit well with voters, and it doesn't sit well with me either, that we've reached that point where, you know, we're just bombarded with this kind of obscene amount of money being spent on these political campaigns.
Yeah.
It was interesting what the caller had to say about the degree to which everything's about money, that, rather than, you know, other issues, it's all about what's coming out of my pocket. That's always the case when you have an economic recession. Always. It's about what people feel in terms of their wallets and their pocketbooks. You know, it's as James Carville famously said in 1992, it's the economy, stupid, and it's always the case, particularly in a recessionary economy.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the call. George in Milwaukee. Hi, George.
Yes, hi. This has not gotten very much media play, but in the Thursday debate with Walker and Barrett, Walker made an implied threat, I thought, that if Barrett gets elected, we're still going to be seeing an endless round of recalls. Now, he didn't say that if I'm reelected, that would continue to happen. And I thought it was kind of interesting that he would make that comment and that the media didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, it is. You know, the Walker campaign essentially has said that if Walker wins, it will put an end to recalls here in the state of Wisconsin, and will finally resolve that. And yet, at the same time, as the caller indicates in that Thursday debate, he seemed to imply that if Barrett wins, the Republican Party in Wisconsin would immediately commence on an effort to collect signatures to recall Governor Barrett. It's just really amazing the degree to which we have become so polarized in this state that these kinds of things just go back and forth in that way.
Hmm. Thank you, George, for the call. If the governor wins tomorrow, I'm wondering what it is you think he could do to sort of mend fences here. The thing about this election is that the views are so different, so diametrically opposed to each other in many ways, that it's hard to imagine 6 months from now or a year from now not having the same kind of turmoil in this state. So I got back to what I think I asked you earlier. But what does the governor, should he win tomorrow, need to do to lower the tension level?
Well, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what the reaction is going to be. Should it be Governor Walker or should it be Tom Barrett, Mayor Barrett, who wins? You know, if Governor Walker truly is interested in mending fences and in healing this division, I suspect that his response ought to be, should he end up sustaining his effort to beat back this recall, to say, all right, I get it. There is deep division in this state, and we need to begin to think about how we can resolve things in a way that ratchets down the partisan tensions in this state. Now, that could be one way to respond. Or it could be, and I suspect it may be this, I won, no more recalls, the voters have given me a mandate, I'm going to continue with my programs, which, of course, I think would just continue to ratchet up that partisan division. If Mayor Barrett wins, he's got the same kind of thing.
Yes.
It could either be a message of let's bridge the gap, let's work together across the aisle, let's solve the important problems of Wisconsin, or we beat Walker and we beat back that extreme agenda, which I think would just do nothing but fuel the partisan division here in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, it's not very hopeful either way here, George.
Well, we are a very deeply divided state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in many ways, it's not just what Walker or Barrett or Democrats or Republicans are saying. It's what family members are saying to one another. It's what neighbors are saying to one another.
Yes.
And that partisan division really needs to begin to be resolved at the levels of families and neighborhoods. And only then, I think, will politicians, high-profile politicians, get the message that it's time to stop and time to really address the problems that face the state of Wisconsin in a way that bridges the gap and alleviates the partisan divide.
Ken in Milwaukee. Hi, Ken.
Hi. I have 1.5 quick comments, if I could.
All right.
The professor said earlier that there's really an issue as far as certain people getting to the polls and the possibility that they're not going to be able to. You know, I have never seen a system that is so accommodating for absentee ballots and the ways of doing it, in-person absentee ballot. For God's sake, the absentee polls were open on Memorial Day. I just don't see a reason that people should have an excuse not to vote. This is an amazingly accommodating state for this. That's my one comment. My half comment is, it is really amazing also to me how very few, if anybody, on either side of the political spectrum has truly looked at what's going on here, why this recall has started, and the impetus for what has happened here. It's not a union versus anything. It was a question of not being honest, and that's my other half.
Thank you very much, Ken, for your call, Professor Waller.
Yeah, well, I agree with the voter that it is easy to vote. We are an accommodating state. There really is no excuse. I totally agree with not voting in this state. We have had absentee ballots available. We have had polling. We have same-day registration. He's absolutely right with all of that. You know, there are, however, sometimes issues for voters who don't know about these things. And again, that's no excuse. The fact of the matter is a lot of our voters simply aren't educated about all of this stuff, and they need to be better educated about it. In terms of the second part of what the caller talks about here, you know, there's lots and lots of reasons why this recall effort took place. But number one, it's because we have now a very deeply divided state. And I think Governor Walker's efforts with the Republican majorities in both the Senate and the Assembly to move in the direction they did clearly fired up those who saw that as just really taking the ball and running far too strongly in one direction. And that's, I think, problematic for this state. If that's the way we're going to have a governor of any party or a legislature of any party govern, we're going to have this kind of deep division.
Thank you, Ken, so much for your call. Steve in Greenleaf, hi.
Good morning. My concern is the state is going towards the direction of Greece. My example is I've known three teachers who retired before Act 10 took place, And after they retired, the next year they were hired back. So they're getting their pension plus they're getting back their full salary. Now they're earning about $56,000 a year. They retired with over $40,000 a year. Now for me, to retire with $40,000 a year after having worked only 30 years, I'd have to invest $12,800 a year every year at 6%. Now, so also, if you look at their total fringe benefit package, it was over $34,000 a year. So they were drawing down $56K, fringe benefit $34,000. That $34,000 is given to them as tax-free money. Now, the average citizen pays his taxes, whereby then they're paying the teacher's fringe benefit package. As they pay their taxes, they can't afford to fund their own IRA.
All right, Steve, I need to hold you there. We're almost out of time. Your comments on that, and are there a lot of teachers who are coming back after retiring?
That has occurred. I think the impression has been created that it is far more prevalent than it actually is. I think there are isolated cases where that has occurred. There are also a number of cases where that has been determined not to be legal. I know there's a case of a professor up at UW-Green Bay who
yes.
attempted to do that and was told, no, you cannot do that. But I think here again, it is problematic. I agree with the caller, but I think it's way overblown in terms of the numbers of teachers who have done that and been rehired.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Waller, for being with us this hour. We'll talk again, and it'll be very, very interesting to watch what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, keep your seatbelt buckled. We're in for a ride.
All right. And the ride started a long, long time ago, perhaps. Maybe 100 years ago. Professor George Waller, professor of political science at UW Fox Valley. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour. Brett Jaspers for on-air production. Tomorrow we don't talk politics, unlike some other radio stations. We will talk the results tomorrow night at 8 o'clock with election returns. And Wednesday we will talk about what happened tomorrow on many of our programs. So we hope you'll join us. Stay with us. Open line the next hour of our show.